Amen. What a day that will be. And good news, you don't even have to wait till then to rejoice and sing and shout. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to study beginning tonight the biblical account of creation. These series of lessons that we've been going through are about avoiding confusion. And for some of that, For some of us, that's a very difficult thing to do because we live in a state of confusion. But with the Word of God, we can learn to avoid confusion. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us your holy Word. That you've given it, that you've protected it and preserved it, and that we have it to hold in our hands, to hide in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that your word would convict our hearts tonight, that you would strengthen our faith. We pray for those who may be hearing the lesson tonight, those who may be joining in the small groups tonight who have never been born again. I pray that tonight would be the night they'd say yes to Jesus. Tonight, they would repent of their sin and unbelief, and they would put their faith in Christ alone. Lord, we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray for saving grace tonight in those who are not yet saved. And Lord, for those who are saved, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd grow our faith and equip us to be greater witnesses for you, to walk with Jesus more faithfully day by day. Please help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you go on and jump down to verse 26, I want to read a few more scriptures with you. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything, living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." There's so many profound and foundational and crucial truths that God gives us in the very first chapter of Genesis. He begins with the understanding that in the beginning, before there was anything else, God was there. These foundational truths about God creating male and female, God creating all things, that what God made was very good. They're so foundational, and it's no surprise that the creation account is one of the things Satan attacks most in the world today. And he has for a long time. It's not a new thing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. Because I know some of you have the idea that this business of attacking God and creation is a new thing. But Peter writes and says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Listen, even in Peter's day, not so long after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, there were those who fought against, mocked, and stood against the truth of the creation that God brought into existence. I'm just telling you, it's nothing new. It's not something that Darwin invented. It's not something that secular scientists have invented. The reality is that men's hearts have always been against God, and they've always tried to find a way to make themselves not accountable to God. So we have to make up stories to try to make ourselves not guilty. I want to tell you that the idea of evolution, the theory of evolution, is a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale for criminals who don't want to believe in a judge. It's what it is. Of all the doctrines the Bible teaches, one of the most attacked, ridiculed, and criticized is that of a literal six-day creation by God's miraculous power. When we look into the Word of God, we understand it for what it is. It says what it means, and it means what it says. For years, unbelievers have worked to undermine the Christian belief of creation and replace it with secular humanism. But the impact that it's had has been profound. In 2007, 50% of all Americans believed or said that they were very familiar with creationism. But by 2014, that number had dropped to 38%. In 7 years, it had plummeted that percentage, and you can imagine that here in 2021, it's not gotten any better. Because those who say that they believe in Jesus, those who say they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, have decided that they can pick and choose which parts of the Bible to believe. They've gone to a place where they think that the scientists teach them the truth and facts, and they go to Sunday school to learn stories. And the reality is, the truth is found in the unchanging Word of God. And there may or may not be some truth in your kids' science books. But it changes every year. We need to learn to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Peter, in 2 Peter 3:5, doesn't just tell us what the people refuse to believe. They tell us why. They're willingly ignorant because they don't want to acknowledge the Creator. If there's a Creator, then he has the right to demand things of his creation. He has the right to judge those who disobey his laws. And people would rather believe a fairy tale than to face the fact that they're accountable to God. We even have courts that have been involved in this debate. Courts have ruled that teaching the theory of intelligent design, which is not even special creation by the God of the Bible, but they said you can't even teach intelligent design, the idea that the complexity of life around us could not possibly come from random chance. They can't teach that because it's too close to creationism. In reality, the theory of evolution requires more faith than believing creation by God. Now, the atheist that would hear me say that would say, I don't have faith, I don't even believe in faith, but the truth is, we're all believing in things that we can't see. The reality is that none of us can run an experiment to figure out if the way an evolutionist would say creation came about, the beginning of the universe, the beginning of life on earth, they can't run an experiment to see what happened. We weren't there. The reality is the world that exists today isn't even the same as it was before the flood. And even us as creationists, when we believe the Bible, we can't go back and see. We can't test our hypothesis. We have to believe it by faith. They have to believe it by faith, and we have to believe it by faith. The reality is, though, we have an eyewitness testimony. Because God was there. And he gives us the record in his word. Job 38, verses 4 and 5. Job 38, verses 4 and 5. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? God says to Job, where were you when I made it all? I'll tell you where he was. He didn't exist, but God did, and God gives us eyewitness account of his creation. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God has given us divine revelation. Henry Thiessen said that divine revelation is the act of God whereby he discloses himself or communicates truth to the mind, whereby he makes manifest to his creatures that which could not be known in any other way. And when you hold your Bible in your hand, you're holding divine revelation, and God gives us truths in his word that you would not know if God didn't tell you so. For the Bible tells me so. There's so much that we wouldn't know if God didn't tell us in his word. The Bible is so precious, and creation reveals to us the existence and the pre-existence of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." When the Bible talks about in the beginning, it's telling us that God was there before the beginning. He exists before time. He exists outside of space and matter. And I'm just telling you today that we can look into the Word of God and we see the God who created all things. An evolutionist worldview sees matter, not God, as preeminent. One author said it this way: "The humanist worldview holds to evolution, rejecting the biblical teaching of creation of all things by God. It is a materialist worldview, which argues that matter and energy are all that exist." The atheist scientist Dr. Carl Sagan stated the materialist view in his television series Cosmos, claiming, "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." I want you to listen to the way that an atheist, the way that an evolutionist, the way that an unbeliever describes creation. They ascribe to the creation the things that only belong to God himself. He says the cosmos, that's all that is, was, or ever will be. And the simple truth is they worship the creation more than the Creator, who truly is and was and always will be. Christ our Savior, the Word that created all things. I'm going to tell you, it literally takes more faith to believe the uncaused cause that brought everything into existence, that it all just exploded from nothing. It's foolish to think that everything came from nothing, that nothing created everything there is. It's silly. And I want to tell you this. I think there are a lot of secular, atheistic, evolutionary people in the world today who are starting to see the fallacy of the Big Bang Theory. They're starting to see the fallacy of the singularity. Now, if you don't know what the singularity is, it's just this. Scientists look at the universe and they see that it's expanding. It's as though an unseen force were stretching out the heavens. Because God stretches out the heavens. But they see the stretching out, and so in their uniformitarianism, the way that they look at the world, they say, well, let's just put that in reverse. If it's doing that, then it's always done that. And when you put that in reverse, you rewind it, it all comes back together to a singular point where all of space and matter and energy was in this singularity, and they realize the ridiculousness of that claim. And so have they shifted their belief to say, maybe there's something else. Maybe there is a creator. Maybe there is a designer to all this design that we see in the universe. No, they come up with some other ridiculous claim. And now they say, well, it's not a singularity. Now it's just the fact that there are multiverses. And it doesn't shrink down to a singularity. It's been folding up and unfolding, and it's been doing that forever and ever and ever. And I'm just telling you that they are willingly ignorant. When they realize that their theories are empty, that they make no sense, that it's foolishness, they just shift to a different fairy tale because they don't want to be accountable to God. Now, it's easy for me sometimes to just almost want to laugh at the ridiculousness of it, but I want you to get this. These are people who Jesus died for. These are people who he shed his blood to take away their sin. Just like mine. And he loves them and he wants them to come to Christ. They are not to necessarily, maybe sometimes, but they're not really to be mocked. They're to be prayed for. And they're to be witnessed too. Tonight, I'm so excited to talk about creation. I just love it that we can look into the Word of God and see our amazing Creator and how tiny we are in the middle of it all and how much he still loves us. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to dismiss to our small groups tonight. I do want to say very quickly, If you'd like to give to the youth fund, there's a offering plate right back there in the back. To everybody joining us on the live stream, thank you for joining us. Please let us know you were here. And everybody, please pray for the evangelism conference that's in Norman, Concord Missionary Baptist Church in Norman, Oklahoma, this Saturday. We're going to meet here at 6. We're going to leave here at 6:45 a.m. on Saturday to go to Norman. So if you want to go, please be here, ready to leave at 6:45. And if you're not going to go, you just go ahead and wake up and pray for us, all right? And then you can roll over and go back to sleep. Thank you so much for being here tonight. God bless you. Brother Mike Watkins, will you lead us in prayer?